Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening. This is Ken Hodge, co-producer of the Hodge to Hodge podcast radio, and we're here with our Wednesday night show, The Attic. Again, The Attic is a podcast of me and my brothers and sisters voicing our opinion, stating fact about things that affect our lives, and not so much affect our lives, but we like to do a podcast given our point of view. And again, it's not important to me that you agree with my point of view, but if you would be courteous and at least lend an ear, I'm relatively certain that our point of view hopefully will change the way you look at certain items. And as always, I've got all my brothers and sisters with me tonight. That's what The Attic is all about. Oh, we're going to do a little roll call. Baby girl, baby sis, you with us?
I'm here, brother.
Baby bro, you with us? Baby bro, you with us?
I'm here.
Brother Messenger, you with us?
Yes, I am, my brother.
All right. And we have Nurse Carmen here with us also. Nurse Carmen, you with us tonight?
Yes, I am.
Okay. Hey, we got the cast in place, and tonight, again, it's one of those topics tonight that, as the producer, is very near and dear to my heart. And again, it's one of those topics tonight where I want to let my black voice be heard. And when I say let my black voice be heard, I've just been looking at and coming in contact with a lot of issues this week, or reading on a lot of issues this week, pertaining to the treatment of the black man in America. And when I say the treatment of a black man in America, I'm talking about ever since. This isn't a new situation, but it's one that I am going to be a drum major for, keeping it in the face and the ear of black America, because I want to say to my brothers and sisters, wake up. Wake up, wake up, wake up. We have to wake up, because the oppressor is beginning to not just oppress, but he's beginning to stand up and oppress. And I want to say to you that we've been dealing with this for far too long. Far too long. I have a I've got a quick tape, a clip, I'm sorry. It's about 2 minutes. And I want to play this, because then we're going to go ahead and start our show from this point on. Just stand by for a second, and I want you to listen to a brother. And so as I load this, I want you to understand that we speak from a perspective of, it's not about getting even. This is not a podcast of hatred. This is not a podcast of anything other than my attempt to try to arise or raise the conscious level of the black man in America, so that hopefully we can unite and maybe, and not, and just maybe, begin to right some wrongs that have hindered us or hindered our progress as a people for as long as I possibly can remember. So stand by and listen for a quick second, please.
And built on the backs of slaves.
All right. So we started with a racial problem. We tried to actually eliminate one entire race, and then we used another race to build this country actually quite quickly as a new country into a world power. This country never would have had the wealth that it had had it not had slavery for a couple of hundred years.
But I say to white people, look, you didn't do it. They say, yeah, that's right. We didn't have nothing to do with slavery. Yeah, but because of slavery, when you immigrants came here, America was already built with the blood, the sweat of my ancestors. So you got what you got because your fathers gave us what they gave us.
One mistake that's often made is showing how the South, the Confederacy, acquired their wealth off of the back of our ancestors. And even then,
they still refuse to acknowledge us as Americans or as citizens in this country, which, again, forcibly, but we built. So, again, I get on a little rant and I get on a little rave about this, but my intent here is not about fostering an environment where we begin to dislike anybody. This is not a hate message. This is a message that I hope to wake my black brothers and sisters up so we understand that it has never, ever been the purpose of America to allow us to be citizens in this country. And it sounds crazy that I even have this platform after having a black president. Well, and again, and I have nothing but love, admiration, and respect for Brother Barack, but trust me when I tell you, he was a black president, but they had him handcuffed. Barack Obama would have never been able to do this nonsense that we are currently going through without them kicking him out of office. So before I just monopolize this microphone, is there anybody else from the cast have anything they'd just like to add to what we're talking about right now?
Sure. Just because you ain't got a whip on your back don't mean you're not a slave. In other words, just because ain't nobody beating you with a whip don't mean you're not a slave.
Oh, they put the whip down and picked up actual and guns now. So
yeah.
If you actually
guns
just
and other
look
tools.
Yeah, definitely another tool. They put the whip down and they picked up a gun. And now killing a black man, again, I guess some folks look at that as it's a pastime. It's a sport. It's an environment that, especially under this current administration, it's like, okay. I mean, the administration that we currently have subliminally sends the message that it is fine if you want to continue to treat the black American in a way less than honorable. And the penalty for your treatment, in fact, penalty, they may get rewarded for it. And again, and as a black and black American, not black African, because I've never been to Africa. My generation are probably so far removed from Africa that if they even started to reinstitute the Marcus Garvey movie of going back to Africa, we don't go back to Africa. We've never been to Africa. But again, it just has me, as I look around and I see from day to day and I read newspapers, again, it is becoming very, very visible again that the black man is becoming, again, a commodity. And when I say a commodity, I mean a commodity that white America, and I do mean white America, is, again, doing the same manner or the same concept behind slavery, which was uneven or unequitable distribution of wealth, is now, again, rearing its head again. And what I mean by that is your commodity, meaning that you, by them imprisoning you, allows white America to make more money. And what I mean by that is you are, and again, I just have to calm down a little bit because it really has me furious. that as a nation of people, we have to be smarter. We have to understand what's going on, and we have to form, organize, and again, not with weapons or anything else. We have to form intellectually to let America know we are not going to stand for that anymore. And I say to you again, I don't advocate violence. Never that. I'm not a big Martin Luther King fan either, so I'm not with the nonviolent. I'm with the wake up America. And if you wake up and see what's happening to you, maybe you'll be a little more responsive to the leadership or to organizing to make sure we don't go through that anymore. Talk to me, Cass.
Yeah, well, we as a people, we've got to get our act together. We see what it is that we're dealing with, and we've been in this game long enough, and we are very intelligent, so we've got to better equip ourselves to play the game. And one of our problems is we have a tendency of trying to hold each other back. We're like crabs. We want to hold each other back. We see one that climbs out, and we want to drag them back in instead of trying to climb out with them. But we've got to come together as a people. And until we do that, they'll continue, just as our leader is doing right now, is divide and conquer. And we're allowing it. And we've got to pull our resources together so that we can make a stand.
I'd like to read something. And again, I'm trying to contact Brother William Robinson, again, because I'd like to interview him on my podcast. I want to read something that he put a little video out, and the caption underneath it, "Wake up, my people. We went from slavery to segregation. So how was we ever equal? The Bill of Rights and Constitution was written during our slavery time. So how was the system supposed to be for us?" And again, the Constitution is not authentic, because if it was authentic, we wouldn't need the Bill of Rights. But now we have the Bill of Rights also, and again, that really don't protect the interests of the black man in America. I'm trying to load. I got a clip from Brother William Robinson. I'm trying to load because I think it would shed a lot of light on what it is I'm trying to bring across.
And guess what they came up with? They came up with a whole set of laws called the slave codes. And you know what they were? They were a set of laws to reinstitute slavery. Let me tell you what they were. There was a vagrancy law. A vagrant was any person who wasn't fully employed and didn't have a place of residence. You know who that was? The 4 million slaves who just found that they were free. As soon as they stepped off the plantation, you're breaking the law, they locked you up.
Wow.
And as soon as they started that process, then they created what's called the convict lease program. You know what the convict lease program was? The convict lease program was a program that said once you were arrested and incarcerated, you could be leased back to the plantation.
Wow.
Sometime before your bed even got cold. Then they said, oh, yeah, you want to vote? Sure, we got the literacy law. You know what that law was? The literacy law said that you could vote, but you had to first read this statement. If you read the statement, you were arrested. Why? Because the only way you could read it, if you know how to read, it was against the law. And so they had the legal system set up and designed to reinstitute chattel slavery. Now we got to fast forward. But we don't got a lot of time. But what I will tell you, even today, they got this drug-free zone. Let me tell you why the drug-free zone is a joke. Drug-free zone said if you get caught with drugs, either in your possession, sale, or distribution in a drug-free zone, which is 500 feet from a school, that you are required to get the maximum penalty. Well, guess what? Anywhere you go, end up 500 or 1,000 feet from a school, which means we automatically going to get the maximum. That's when they come up with the mandatory minimum. We'll say, well, then, if in fact you get arrested with a certain amount of drugs, I got to give you 15 to life. You know why? Because the prison industrial complex is a business, and we are a commodity. We were brought here as a commodity. As soon as they figured out that they could no longer use us in the way they use us, they had to figure out a new way to use us. And when this wave runs out, they'll come out with another way to use us. Until we wake up, until we raise our consciousness, until we recognize that I want you to kill each other. I want you to call your sister by the B name. I want you to call each other niggas.
You know, and when I hear things of that nature, what it tells me is it doesn't matter what the black man in America does. The system will always be set up against us. And I really have to ask empathetic or sympathetic question, and that question would be why? Why do you think that it is so important to America to spend so much time create laws and sub-laws to ensure that the black American is never given equal justice in this country? That's my real question. I mean, what happened yesterday, we can't take that back, but we have to be aware of it. But my question I want to put to the panel today would be, why do you think it's so important to America that the black man never gets equality? Now, we have other immigrants coming from other parts of the world. I don't see this type of energy, this type of conniving and loathingness being applied to those races. Why do you think that they have such a hatred or such a fear of the black American?
Because of fear, because they know what it is that they've done to us most of our lives, and they're afraid that if we ever get in a position of power, we're going to return the favor. So all these other people that come over, they don't feel as if they have that hatred and animosity. Another group of people that they're going to, as time goes on, they're going to do the same thing to the Hispanic race, because they know that they're doing them just as wrong. So it's fear. I mean, just think about on your job. You and three other people of color can get together, and if you turn your head and look, the majority of the white people begin to get fearful because they don't know what it is that you're doing. And you could just be talking basketball, and they don't know what you're doing, and they get fearful. And I can guarantee you someone of authority is going to come along and try and get in the mix to find out what's going on and break it up. It's just fear of retribution. Because they feel that they know that they've done us wrong. And so down there, they have to be mindful of that. This is one of the reasons why they had such strict attention to every single move that Barack Obama made. They didn't know if he was a real black man or what. They was afraid, and they wasn't taking any chances. He was handcuffed. He wanted to do some good, and they stopped it because they do not want us of color to get any equality. Or because they feel that if they give us equality, that eventually we're going to take over. Because right now, we're people of color, we're the majority, but we're still treated as the minority. And so as soon as we wake up and realize that, then there's going to be a change. And until we wake up, they're doing all that they can. What do you think little Jeffrey Beauregard is doing? He's trying best he can to reinstitute that, put everybody in jail, separate the families. This is a trick that they've been doing all their life, the Sessions. And this is what he's been doing from his childhood, breaking up families so that way they can't form together and unite. And this is from the old playbook. He's an old white man that's continuing on the playbook to try to keep this last as long as possible.
So they try to dehumanize black people, but we can't allow them to, you know, we can't give up our humanity, pretty much.
And you know, I was thinking again, that question, I mean, it really stays on my mind a lot as far as why. Why? I mean, why should you enslave this? Every possible thing you could possibly do to a race of people, other than, again, what the Jewish folks did to the Germans did to the Jews, everything short of that you brought to us. And yet we've resisted, and we're still here.
Right.
I wonder
if we're still here, and if we ever get that chance to get an authority, because they know what it is that they did. And I'm telling you, it's simple fear that we are going to get control, and those same things that they did to us, we are going to do to them. And this is what it is. It's that fear factor. That payback is going to come. They know about the golden rule, what a man sows, so shall he reap. They know about that. And so they're doing all they can to prevent that from happening, because they feel once that happens, it might be the end of the white race, because they're not going to be able to survive the stuff that we went through, that we survived through.
Come on, Cass. Is anybody else from the cast got an opinion or have a voice on this issue? Well, my thing is, if I mean, you know, to white America, and I want to be very clear when I make statements such as this. Again, I'm not really talking about this message is definitely not meant to come off as a hate message. This message tonight, again, is a call for awakening to Black America. We have to wake up. We have to, when I say unite, we have to unite. Again, as a Black man, I have no issue or no desire to pay back America for what it is they did. I have no desire for that. That does not even enter my mind. But what I would like to say is, go ahead.
I'm sorry, but why wouldn't it? Because, you know, I don't understand it. Well, not that it this is my thing. We are the only race of people who could actually forgive somebody or not want to peg somebody back for what they've done. A Jew would never do that. An Asian would never even apologize or make that statement or even try and clarify that they're not trying to do something to you because of what you've done to me. We are willing to work with them, speak with them, marry them, breed with them, feel sorry for them, humanize them. Have they ever, in your own statement, made the same respect towards us?
No. And as I'm talking about as a group of people in their entirety. And so, again, I've got oodles and noodles of white friends. So, again, when I make these statements and I talk about this, trust me when I tell you, it's not about a hatred. Because if I hated the white race, most of my friends, I probably wouldn't be friends with you. But this isn't about hate. This is about just trying to understand at what point will white America say, you know what, how about we just do this? How about we just have one set of laws? How about what goes for the Black America is the same thing that goes for white America? But is anybody who studied law, who studied politics, understand that's not the case? Just like Brother William was pointing out to us, when they ended slavery, okay, that wasn't even done as a humanistic gesture. The Emancipation Proclamation sat on Abraham Lincoln's desk for years. And had the South been able to kick the North's ass, we probably still would have never got that document signed. So,
well, believe it or
the
not,
Emancipation Proclamation. Go ahead.
I was going to say, believe it or not, the South, they was thinking about letting the Black man join their army. It's just that Lincoln did it first.
Beat him to it, yeah.
Well, one of the things we've got to understand, we just have to understand, just what the sister was saying with regards to the fact that none of the other people forgave. So if we don't forgive, that makes us just as bad as them. And so because of the fact that I can honestly say it's easier for me to forgive because of the fact that they didn't, I never picked cotton. So it's a little bit easier for me to forgive, you know what I mean? But realizing that we did.
But your cotton, I'm sorry, your cotton has been replaced by a jail cell. Your cotton has been replaced by unemployment. Your cotton has been replaced by drugs. Your cotton has been replaced by guns.
Well, no, it's a mental, it's a mental thing now. Now they're messing with you mentally.
Right.
And that's the worst kind of
slavery. They're messing with us mentally, but we have the capacity to overcome that. And we have the capacity to overcome, just the same way our ancestors had the capacity to overcome the slavery. Don't get me wrong. I'm not saying that some revenge isn't needed, but we need to get together and take a stand so that we can be heard and be counted. You know what I mean? And then we can set the record straight. Then we can have our justice, but we can't do it until we as a people come together. We can't even get our own self together so that we can mount up against them, because two or three here or there just ain't going to get it done. When they come, they don't even know each other, and they come together. If it's against the black man, they come together.
But the way we have been taught to tell on each other, telling on somebody that's planning on running away and all that, we will turn on each other quickly to any other
right.
race of people, and that's been bred into us to this day. The way we've been bred and brought
right
up, that is still instilled, and that's in our DNA. And until we get that out of our DNA, it's never going to happen.
So, I mean, again, as a race of people, if I was to ask you, and I put this question to the panel, what is it that you think a black America needs to do in order to get equality in North America?
Well, with me, I don't think it's just black America. I think it's people, period. That's not like
Amen.
That. What I mean with that racist stuff, they got to come together. It's just not going to be the black people. You know, all different races got to come together and be like, enough is enough. Because, see, right now, you've been doing the black man, but right now you're working on the Spanish man. You see, now the Spanish man is getting a little bit too up there, so you got to knock him down. But mind
well,
you, you got him
it.
Here doing the same things we used to do. We used to be the ones that was raising their kids, watching their kids, cooking and cleaning and all that for them. But because the pay was so low, okay, they cut us out with that minimum wage, and they brought them in, and that just blew up in their face.
Well, first thing we've got to do is we've got to realize our self-value. We have to understand that we are more than what they think, and we have a tendency, and I'm not saying as a whole, but a good portion of us have a tendency to think that we are not as superior as they are. We look at ourselves as less than they are. And when we have that mentality, then we do some things that we shouldn't do. And I know the game is fixed and we've got to find a way around the game, but there are many people that found a way around the game and became very successful.
Yeah,
we've
got to stop. Everybody can't be LeBron or, you know what I'm saying, that singer or that football player. Everybody can't
no,
do
you
that.
Don't have
it's,
to be
it's
that.
It's a mental thing. It's a mental thing.
You don't have to be a LeBron. You don't have to be a singer. I mean, and you don't have to have millions and millions of dollars. You just need to be able to live in peace and harmony. That's what you really need. It's not really all about the money. Trust me, I know the money helps, but it's not all about that. We just need, I mean, just think, some white people don't have a dime, but they live in large. Because they don't have that constant fear of police brutality or being. But if we unite, then it can stop. But until we unite, it's going to continue. You see how when we united, whoever thought that there would ever be a black man in the White House? But
yeah,
we united and we did it. Yeah, but that was a start. But what I'm saying is what we did was we got the black man in the White House, and then we went our way and left him by himself. And because we left him by himself, he was after one among many. We didn't support him. We got him in there, and we left him all by himself, and then expected him to heal all the problems that we had. But we have to unite, and when you unite, you can't break off. Because we need, until we set this thing in order completely, we've got to stand together. And this is why Trump has the authority and stuff that he has. Those white people got scared when Barack was in there, and now they united, and Trump can do anything he wants right now. And it doesn't matter. Why? Because they're united. And it don't matter. Do whatever you want, Trump. Just make sure we don't get no black people in here. Put that wall up so the Spanish people can't come. Because they're united on some of the silliest, stupidest stuff. But they're united, and they can do it.
But if
we
unite, if Barack did one or two things that he did, how long you think he would last before they were trying to get him up out of there?
But that just goes to show again that again as a people, again we are again and again I find myself that we are very forgiving as a people, because you're right, they and they were introduced to the first black president, and again, based on their past, they got off real easy. Because I guarantee you, and I do mean this, and I guarantee you I'll be not the first to say it, but I'm going to let it be known. The next black president that we get, especially following the current president, he's not going to be Barack Obama. He or she, excuse me, is not going to be as gentle as Barack Obama. He or she is not going to be trying to be a peacemaker that Barack Obama was. He or she is going to be the black version of what Donald Trump does, is doing right now. And again, because of his position in the White House, and the one thing, again, I don't have a whole lot to say nice about our president, with the exception of he endorses some pretty nice dress shirts. Donald Trump's shirt collection, pretty nice shirts. That's pretty much about the extent of what I have nice to say about him. And I also want to say, I'm sorry, but again, and he don't hide that. I mean, I like his gangster. I just really wish that he had some love in his heart for some black folk also, because I like his gangster. He's trying, and he's opening up a lot of different venues that folks thought the president couldn't do. So, again, when he leaves, trust me, white America going to make sure that we've got some rules in place that won't allow this to happen again. Watch this. If he leaves, because I'm pretty sure he's going to run for 4 more years, and I'm pretty sure that based on his acceptance right now, it ain't looking bad for him. You got movie stars now trying to come out saying, we'll take that spot. We'll run against him. So the whole thing of president, the whole position of president, which is our top spot in the nation, is becoming a popularity race, the same way it happened out in California when Arnold Schwarzenegger became the governor out there. But my thing is, again, to America, you have done a race of people, in this case, the black American, and don't call me a black African because I'm not African. The black American, you've done them wrong. You continue to do that race of people wrong. And when I say done wrong, I got to tell you, as my livelihood, I'm satisfied. I'm comfortable. So when I say done them wrong, I'm not homeless. I praise God for that. But I'm saying, as a race of people, it would just be nice. It would just be nice. It would be relaxing to understand that what's good for the goose is good for the gander. One set of laws for everybody. And again, we go back to that, the black race, the black people are a people, are a race of forgiving people. Why? Because for generations, that's what's been beat, or that's what's been conditioned into our head. I remember Malcolm gave a speech, and he said, if you ask a black man why you don't like white people, we can give you billions of reasons why, legitimate reasons. And when I say, and again, to my audience, I have a lot of white listeners on my audience, when I say to the white man, you have to understand, I'm talking about as a race of people. I'm talking about as the folks who actually run this nation. When you heard Brother William earlier talk about when they repealed slavery, as soon as they said, okay, slaves are free, what did they do? They came with a whole new code of laws now. Here, you can vote, but read this statement. Oh, you read that statement? Boom, go to jail. Wait a minute, I'm a free man. No, you're free, but black man, you still can't read. The system is set up and it's interwoven into the fabric of this nation, that we may lose this nation to any race of people, But I think back in the days of when the racist forefathers got together and penned the Constitution and the Bill of Rights that followed it, it was an understanding, again, and I say white people because everybody in that room was white, that we will lose this country to anybody, but we take a solemn oath that we take to our grave that we will never lose this country to a black American. And I think that is the
story. Well, right, and you say anybody, but you got to understand anybody because they all consider themselves one. As white people, you could be from Sweden, from England, from Canada, wherever, they still consider themselves white people. So that's why these people, because Trump isn't, his family wasn't born here in America. None of them were. You know what I mean? So, and once again, it's because they see the white and they stick together. And this is why they've been able to do it for so long. And this is why they're so afraid of us, because they think that we're going to take over and we're going to get revenge. And they're going to do whatever they can. I hate to sound like a broken record, but that's what they're doing. You let, as soon as a black person say something, they find all kind of ways to criticize them. And just using the president. And Barack Obama couldn't even take two steps without them finding a way to criticize him. Trump takes no steps, and he's fine. Trump for 3 years.
And you gotta remember, too, Congress and Senate, they let them do whatever he wanted to do. Barack, every turn he made, they was fighting him.
Because we didn't support Barack and get the people in there to help him. That's why.
And that's because Barack went at the job with intelligence. And, again, we've got a system in place. Barack didn't go in there to shake the boat and redo the system. This is a system. I'm going to work within the system. But the current president right now, again, he's got an agenda. And, again, I wish I could just convince 45 that, listen, I mean, hey, how about showing, even if you don't show no love to other races of people, how about not showing hatred towards them? How about, again, it's so funny how white America jumps behind Donald Trump and allows him to get away with some of the craziness that he does. And you know what? Unless you are in that 1%, you're being hurt also. But you don't even understand that. Because it's not Barack Obama doing it.
But because of the color of the skin. Barack Obama's first year in office, Barack Obama did so much stuff that half the stuff, we don't even know what he did, but he did so much stuff to help not just black people. It was to help black people, but it was to help everyone. It really, he did a lot of stuff. Huh? To help people, right?
Yeah,
he did a lot of stuff.
Help people.
Right. And that's all that because I truly feel that with and I understand the hatred per se or the dissatisfaction of all the years of slavery and abuse and stuff that we went in with, but if we could just get an even playing field, I do believe with the strength and with the willingness to overcome all the stuff that we've been through, that if we could just get a level playing field, we won't have to get revenge because we will outsmart them. Well, not outsmart them, but just outdo them, because we can outdo them in anything that we set our mind to. They, a lot of stuff that they do, they rest on their laurels that they're white. But we've got to work that extra hard to get that position or to get that thing, so we're already better prepared. So if we could just get an even playing field, if we could just get an even playing field, the rest will take care of itself.
And to white America, I say, the funny part about it is, again, I don't begin to advocate, say, or in any way try to say all white people are racist. No, that's just crazy. That's crazy talk, and I'm not talking like that. What I'm saying is, because you are white and all you are is simply white and you haven't done anything, you are extended a privilege that you didn't even ask for. But you get it just because of who you are.
If you want to say that, then technically, they are.
They are racist, yeah.
They are. Technically, they are, because it's just that's right. We've been taught that we're such low creatures. We're not human, or we're not, you know, the same as them. They have that feeling of superiority over us.
Mm-hmm.
They don't mean it, but
they feel privileged.
Privileged. Yeah, that's right. So to a certain degree, they are racist. I mean, and don't get it twisted. We're racist, too. I think we got a little bit more reason to be. But we're racist, too. Because we can look at them sometimes. If we be wanting to pop them upside the head, just having flashbacks. So it's something that we've got to accept, but it's something that we can overcome and work with. I don't have to love you. Oh, yes, I do. Let me. Well, I don't have to smile. You know what I mean? We can get along. I don't want it to be where we were because of who we are. We're better than that. They just
I
don't
think
realize.
I think we can tolerate them more, but they have no tolerance at all for us.
For us, yes.
Yeah, you know. And case in point was that. That situation that happened in the park with that grilling, that barbecuing, where the woman just, you called the police. You felt like she shouldn't be grilling, and so you called the police. She had no tolerance for her, so you just called the police.
But it's fair. It's fair. She called the police because it was a black man, and she knows she was wrong, so she called for backup because of the fear that they have for us. White people are so afraid of us that it's just so funny. They're afraid of us because they just look at us and because of what they've been taught, they think we're some kind of animals. And then we've got.
But who are you? But who was she? But who was she? Or who did she think she was? To call the police on someone, like her tolerance, you had no tolerance for this woman
white.
In your space.
But yeah, it was her
she
sense
was
of
white.
Superiority too. Like, who are you
yeah,
here doing
right.
this?
Exactly.
And how dare
exactly.
you?
Exactly.
And I'm
going
to fix this
her
for
right.
me. And
exactly.
Right.
So they definitely feel superior, and they feel privileged, and they feel like if they don't have any tolerance for you in their space at that particular time, then I will have you removed.
Have you removed? Definitely.
Right, but see what happened when we all came together. I bet you they won't have nobody else removed from that park when we came together.
Well, actually, he wasn't breaking the law, so there's nothing they can do.
What's that?
He wasn't breaking the law, so there's nothing they can do.
Nothing they can do, yeah.
But she had no regards for what the whatever the consequences could have been on that black man once she called the cops on him. Because she didn't care.
There's a lot of stuff we ain't do nothing for, and they call the cops, and some people still in jail right now.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, just because he ain't do nothing, that don't mean nothing.
No, but her complaint was he was grilling, and she felt like he
uh-huh.
wasn't supposed to. So it's
uh-huh.
really nothing.
Because she had he was in her space, and she had no tolerance for him.
Tolerance
and that's what I mean.
I'm
when they have
sure
when they have
they
no tolerance for us, they want us removed.
No warrants out for him,
mm-hmm.
So it's okay. nothing they can do. They look, but it was nothing they can do.
Well, you know, see now again. On a case simply as that, if they would have arrested her ass for wasting taxpayer dollars and maybe made her post bail to take her ass back home that night, they send a message down the police department that, hey, we're not a part of this nonsense. If they break the law and you call us, anybody, not just black people, if you break the law and you call me, I'm going to put down the arm of the law. I'm going to put down the hammer of God as on the law. But if you calling me, and I understand it's just some racist shit that you dealing with your own issues. Well, when I get there, I might give you a fine for wasting my time. And the fine could have been $2. It don't even have to be a big fine. But the fine sends a message that as a police department, We don't tolerate that racial attitude of yours. But instead, I'm sure they
nothing is none.
Nothing happened to her.
Yeah, nothing is none.
Until we can get some people,
and that's why she'll do it again.
She'll do it again.
Yeah. If not her, somebody else.
Until we can get together and get some people that are going to stand for us, there's nothing we can do. But we've got to be able to get those people. And what happens is we put the people in that we think, and then they get somebody, show them a little quicker way, and they forget all about us. And then next thing you know, we're still right where we can, where we're at, and we're the ones that's the bad guy. Just for example, my brother, Jeffrey Jones, I'm not saying he's the best person, but he got dealt a bad hand as a mayor, and I don't know if we could get another black mayor. But he got dealt a bad hand. Right, not that he was the best, but he got dealt a bad hand. And what's his name? Torres. Torres came in here and was just as crooked as he wanted to be. But guess what? His people stuck by him, and not only did he, after he lost the election, they hired him back again. Why? Because they stuck together. We can't do that. And part of the
reason we can't stick together or unite is, again, historically, culturally, it has been smashed into the DNA of black America. That, again, that crab in a barrel syndrome. Hey, you tell me what they're doing so I can stop their progress, and I'm going to let you and maybe one other come on up to the corporate level. Not a whole bunch.
Uh-huh.
Not enough that you could come up here and make decisions or change what we're doing, but that you might have a better life. And I got to tell you, again, as a black person, when that offer is made to you, most black people are going to take that.
And the hard thing.
Yeah, but once again, when we decide that as a people we really want and I keep going back to Brother Barack, we decided at that time that we wanted a change. Now nobody in their right mind would have ever thought that Barack Obama, a two-year senator from out of Chicago, would become the president of the United States. But black people took a stand, and there are some people of Caucasian that had some heart and voted for him, but it was us down in Alabama. They was getting ready to put a child molester back in office until them black women down in Alabama said no. It's because we've got, I mean, and plus we got to understand the system is rigged. They done locked up so much of us that half of us can't even vote and stuff of that nature. So they've done their part, but we still got to keep fighting so that we can, and I guarantee you, if we could just get on a level playing field with them, we'll just far surpass them. And they know that, and that's what they're afraid of.
You got to think about it. Again, from a perspective of white America, I've had my foot on the neck of this race of people.
That's right.
Forever.
That's right. That's right.
With my foot on their neck, they still got to be.
That's right.
I had a black man as a president. So again, it's their and I agree with you, Brother Messenger. It's their fear of reprisal has them all committed. And when I say all, I mean the people in power, because the people in power, the people are making laws. If you line them all up, I'm telling you right now, we all know what color the face is going to be. When you line them all up, they all against. We can go against each other for a minute, but trust me, before we allow black Africans, black Americans, and excuse me, because I don't like to refer to myself as African, because I'm not African. I'm a black American, and I'm just trying to have justice and peace right here in my homeland, America. I have no desire to pick up the banner for Marcus Garvey. I don't knock his movement of Back to Africa, but that's not where I want to go, and I don't make no bones about letting anybody know that. I've been to Africa.
Too late for that. To go back to Africa.
They have
because they have lied so much, they don't believe you, my brother. They believe that that's just you talking, and soon as you get, if we gave you an opportunity, the first thing you going to do is put your foot on my neck, and I'm just not taking that chance. And that's what they believe.
And I got to tell you, I honestly, and again, through or ascending to the top chief spot, I guarantee you, again, this is just some bullshit, hyper, other bullshit that they want to believe. Because if Barack Obama was a racist as some people might be, and I can't make a direct comment about my commander in chief, so we're not talking about him, wink, wink. But if Barack Obama was the same type of person as some people, he would have passed laws, or he would have did laws that let you know, I'm going to give you what you gave me. But that's not what he did. And again, we are a humble people. We are a gracious people. Again, you don't see, I bet you can't find one law that Barack Obama did that does damage to the white race. Not one. He signed some bills that kind of equal some things out, but again, they brought Donald J. around, and his mission was to, listen, I mean, you know, this first thing we want you to do is just repeal everything Obama did. Don't matter what it was. If Obama said the light is blue, I need you to write a law to say that same light is green now. Whatever he put his hand on, here's your mandate from other white supremacists who run this world. But you know what? And again, the thing I say about 45 is he lets you know from the door that he wasn't shit. And you know what? You got behind him and you voted. And when I say wasn't shit, I don't mean wasn't. I mean, okay, I grab asses at the pageant. Yeah, I grab
asses. As a person.
As a person, yeah.
And yet women voted for him.
And yet women voted for him. Again,
and some black misogynistic self-hating men.
Yes, true.
I mean, don't get me wrong. In order for him to win, again, well, you know, we started drinking that Donald Trump Kool-Aid. Whoever thought when this thing first started, when he first announced it, that he would actually be successful? But again, he tapped into what white America wanted to hear. That's what got the ball started.
But yeah,
well,
and you know
telling,
what?
Really he was preaching that making America great again.
Yeah, but
which I still don't get that. But whatever.
Well, that's the white people.
Anybody who understands history, okay, after coming from a black president, when I'm talking about making America great again, okay, now we want to make sure that we go. I said we want to build more jails because we've eased up for the last 8 years. And maybe stockholders' return on investment is going down. We got to incarcerate more blacks. The whole prison system itself is designed to make money for white America, and you make that money off the commodity we call black America. And it's just wrong. So, again, my real cry out to the nation is, come on, folks. Black folk, we have to unite. And when I say unite, I don't mean with weapons and arms. I mean unite as a body of intellectuals so that we can stand up. We can pool our resources. If you're not going to take care of me as an American, then I have to spend my money somewhere else. Because in this nation, that's all. Where's that money going? That's why we have so many prisons. So we need money for America. And again, when you look at the manner in which they make money in America, it's just crazy. And they invest and they encourage other black people to. I just got a real issue with the whole prison system itself. But again, that is just another way of shifting the commodity, as Brother William said, of black people. I can't make money off you from your free labor as a slave. Okay, well, for whatever reason, we're getting our ass whipped in the war and I need you to fight. The only way you can fight is you got to be free. Okay, so I can't make money off you that way, but, wait a minute. How about if we lock the ass up and I pay more tax dollars keeping you in prison than I'm ever going to give you to be free? Somebody tell me, how much sense does that make?
To them, it makes a lot of sense. To them, it makes a lot of sense.
Well, and you're right, it do make a lot of sense. Because, again, and just to show you how awful and evil it is, then you get other blacks, a.k.a. Mr. Michael Jordan, who make $1 million off of prison investments. We make money imprisoning and, you know, harming ourselves because we are convinced that we need wealth. And let me tell you something, and maybe because I don't have millions and billions of dollars, I will never understand this, but what the hell you need all that money for anyway? Why do you need billions of dollars when you have homeless people?
Because there's one thing the white man has taught us, no matter how much money they got, they can always use more.
Yeah. And well, generational wealth. It's not just about you.
Yeah, and keep passing that down.
Yeah.
Keep it going, yeah.
I want my kids to be millionaires.
Yes.
And if it means, again, I can't get the free labor from you as a slave, but I'll support these laws that lock your ass up, that keep federal dollars going into prisons that I invest in, and again, I'm still getting free slave dollars from you. Again, I might have went off on a few tangents tonight, but again, it just really upsets me as I read and as I come in contact with other black leaders about the treatment of the black man in America. And we as a black people, we as a race of people, we have to stop tolerating that. And how do we stop tolerating that? And again, I say again, I don't call us to arms. I don't call us to a violent revolution, but a revolution must take place. That revolution has got to be, you have to understand, if you're going to disrespect me as a black person, then I'm a big fan of reciprocity. And that's effective communication, because when you send a message to me, you slap me in my face, and I just take that slap and walk away, but we haven't communicated. But when you slap me and I slap your ass back, guess what? Now I've got your attention just as much as you have my attention, and now maybe we can dialogue. I'm serious. Now maybe we can dialogue. but you know, again, as long as you're slapping me and I'm sitting here saying, okay, I'll walk away. Wait a minute. I mean, again, if I slapped you and you didn't hit me back, at some point, not only am I going to understand it's okay, but everybody I come in contact with, they're going to understand it's okay. And in this case, when I say slap, I mean won't allow me to decent housing, won't allow me to exercise my right as American like every other American. Because, again, other than the American Indian, we're all not natives of this land. And they're the only actual Americans, and we call them Native Americans. No, we're the natives. Hey, listen, folks, I got about 60 minutes left, and I just want to say, again, as much as we talked about tonight, it's all about things not being equal. It's not about hate. It's about trying to understand. I'm trying to live my life the same way you're trying to live your life, but you go through certain pains and great effort to ensure that I'm never going to be the same. I'm never going to be equal as you. And you may not say it to your kids, but your actions show it to your kids, so now your kids start to believe that. And this is why I say the generation that's coming up now, okay, the white generation coming up now, marrying or interracial marriage. We have interracial dating. Again, and as crazy as that might sound, I do believe that that is going to be the nucleus that start the level of equality in this nation. And again, so yes, I'm a big proponent of interracial dating, interracial kids, because again, when I really am, because I see no other means to justify equalness. Because when you start having the whole interracial generation come up. Now, again, if I'm half black and I'm half white, I can't go hard on one side against the other of who I really am. Hey, listen, folks.
So, my brother,
we don't have time for good evenings. Okay, well, listen, we don't even have time for good evenings because we got 8 minutes left. I appreciate everyone for the podcast tonight, and hopefully we can get back to entertainment next week. Have a nice evening, everybody. This is Kenny Hodge from Hodge to Hodge Podcast saying good night.
Good night.
Good night, John Boy.
Good night, everybody. Good night.
Good night, John Boy.
Good night.
Good night.